Santa Cruz Valley Water Agency Engineering and Operations Committee for October 5, 2023. And our announcements for tonight's meeting are as follows. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Summit Circle Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom and you'll be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called upon by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. We at this time have no members of the public present, but if we ever have a member of the public present, there are public comment cards in the lobby for your use. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from committee members. Please raise your hand. The committee then comes to a consensus to move this item to the board for consideration. And please consider putting items on consent calendar whenever possible. Any PowerPoints shown at tonight's meeting will be posted to the SCD Water website. Almost all committee members are present. Director Cooper, Chairman Cooper is not here with us tonight. And we will continue the meeting following the guidelines just stated. Item one is Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand and face the flag, put your hand on your heart, and follow.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item two, public comment. Those members of the public are in person. Madam Secretary, do we have any members online? We have no public comment tonight. We can then move to item three. Recommend approval of the replacement of 4,273 meters as part of the AMI meter replacement program. Our presenter tonight is Steve Patterson. Mr. Patterson.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, members of the Engineering Operations Committee. I am Steve Patterson, Field Services Supervisor. I have a short presentation to show you that will review the AMI project, discuss the RFP results, to install 4,273 meters as part of the third phase of the AMI project. We have the PowerPoint presentation. Thank you. So what is AMI? Automated meter infrastructure. AMI allows meters to be read without the need for field labor, walking or driving. A series of towers, base stations, and repeaters provide a constant stream of data collection. Next screen, please. What types of meters does SCD Water currently have? Well, manual reads, we have zero. We took care of that in phase one. 38,000 AMI and 36,000 AMR. AMR is automated meter reading communication technology through a drive-by system. Next screen, please. Okay, meter reading equipment, drive-by systems. There's a vehicle, that's the reading vehicle. Below that You'll have the laptop along with the radio that's inside the vehicle to read said meters. To the left, you have the meters that we are reading. To the right bottom corner, you have the base station. And above that, you actually have the AMI antenna mounted on the top side of the tank. Next screen, please. What is WEEG? Federal Bureau of Reclamation Water Smart Water Energy Grant, the WEEG. Installation and conversion of more than 25,000 AMI compatible meters. Grant period is from July 2022 to June of 2025. Next screen, please. AMI grant phases. Phase one completed January of 2023, Northbridge, North Park, and various other areas. Converted remaining 5,000 walking meter routes. Phase two in Tesoro de Valle completed July of 2023, approximately 1,155 meters converted. Phase three, Castaic and surrounding areas, approximately 4,300 meters will be converted. Next screen, please. Meter replacement bids. An RFP was publicly bid through Planet Bids on August 18, 2023. Three bids were received on September 12th, 2023. Contractors include Hemet Manufacturing Company, DBA Genesis Construction, bid amount of $424,955. Lyles Utility Construction, LLC, bid amount of $457,374.50. Golden Meter Service Incorporated, $460,715. Staff reviewed the bids and recommends awarding the contract to Hemet Manufacturing Company, DBA Genesis Construction, as the lowest responsible bidder. Next screen, please. Strategic Plan Nexus. This project supports SCV Water's Strategic Plan B.2. Plan and budget for long-term replacements and improvements, and B.2.1.7, conduct meter replacement program. Next screen, please. Financial considerations. Funds for this project are included in the approved fiscal year 23-24 capital improvements meter and meter infrastructure improvements budget. Next screen, please. Recommendation that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommends that the Board of Directors authorize the General Manager to enter into a contract with Hemet Manufacturing Company, DBA Genesis Construction, in the amount not to exceed $424,955 to replace 4,273 meters as part of the AMI meter replacement program. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Steve, for your presentation. We do now have members of the public present. I would ask, do you have any public comment on this item? And if you have any public comment, if you fill out a public comment card and give us the secretary, I'd appreciate it. Do you have any members online that might have public comment, Madam Secretary?
No public comment.
Very good. We have no public comment on this item. We'll wait for more discussion. Vice President Osaski.
Mr. Peterson, the staff's estimate was 450K. Genesis was in the 420s range. Are we confident with Genesis' estimate?
Yes, they came in. It was mostly the 3/4-inch meters, which are abundantly more meters that are being installed than the larger meters. So that's where most of the price difference came in. They've been around for about 40 years. They mostly done larger size meters, but they have a history of doing other smaller projects as well.
Understood. Thank you.
Very good. Director Peterson.
Steve, I think I know the answer to the question because I think I asked it before, but this is only labor, that's correct?
That is correct. The meters were actually purchased last fiscal year in March of 21st board meeting, or that's where we purchased the 4,000 or approved the 4,273 meters, which we actually have in the warehouse ready to go.
And if there's a problem with the connections and the installation, does the contractor does that repair or does the?
No, we actually take care of that repair if there is whatever issue comes up.
Thank you, Director Peterson. Steve, I really don't have any questions. We've talked about this subject a number of times. It seems straightforward to me. So I'm inclined to move this to the board and on the consent calendar unless the committee has another position. Thank you. We will move this forward and include on consent calendar.
Thank you.
We can move on to item four, presented by Ryan Bye, recommend approval of a contract to rehabilitate Sawgrass Well 2 and find that the proposed action is exempt from CEQA. Mr. Bye.
I'm Ryan Bye. I'm a water system supervisor here at SCV Water. So I'll wait for the slide to come up. Yeah, so tonight we're going to be talking about Sawgrass Well 2 and ultimately the recommendation for approval of contact to rehabilitate that well. Next slide, please. To fully understand the rehabilitation process, I'll be going over some of the history of Sawgrass Well 2, the need for rehabilitation, some of the highlights within the rehabilitation process, and then I'll go over some of the bid information and the bid process that happened. And after that, I will talk about some of the anticipated costs and finally end with the recommendation itself. Next slide, please. So some history about Sawgrass Well 2. It was originally drilled in 1988. However, it was taken offline in 1997 due to perchlorate contamination. Then in 2011, it was brought back online. That was coinciding with the construction of the Sawgrass perchlorate treatment facility. Not too long after that, in 2012, it underwent a full downhole rehabilitation. During that time, it was outfitted with a liner casing. And just forgive me if everyone knows this already, but a liner casing, essentially what it is, it's a kind of a well within a well. So there was a hole within the casing or holes within the casing that the well had when it was originally drilled. And this liner casing helped extend the life of the well. And the final thing to highlight within the history of Sawgrass Well 2, it is one of the containment wells that protects our Sawgrass aquifer from the perchlorate contamination plume. Next slide, please. So this is a street view of Sawgrass Well 2. Just note that it's very, very small. There are numerous site constraints and problems in trying to rehabilitate this well just because of its small footprint. Next slide, please. This gives a better overview of Sawgrass Well 2. It's underneath the green arrow to the left of your screen. It's situated adjacent to Sawgrass Cafe, that's to the right. And to the left is Plaza Clarita. It's on Railroad Avenue, just south of Magic Mountain Parkway. This aerial view kind of gives just a real good aspect of the site constraints that have to be considered when in dealing with rehabilitating this well. Next slide. So now we're going to talk about the need for rehabilitation. So the primary reason to rehabilitate Sawgrass Well 2 is for pumping capacity decrease. After it was fitted with the liner casing, Sawgrass Well 2 produced 1,100 gallons per minute. Currently, we're pumping 700 gallons per minute. So restoring the capacity to the well isn't so much as to achieve more groundwater as it is crucial in containment of the perchlorate plume. A second need for rehabilitation is because of the bacteriological growth on the well screen and column. So this has caused most recently some instances of failed bacteriological samples. When that happens, the well must be taken offline and it needs to be flushed until we can achieve positive or favorable bacteriological samples. Rehabilitating this well will increase the reliability and ensure groundwater quality. Next slide. some highlights for rehabilitation. The first is a physical means, so brushing and baling of the well. This allows to remove any surface material that is on the intake structure of the well to help open up those that screen interval and allow for water to be introduced into the well. The next is air jetting. This is a little bit more robust way of removing some of that buildup within the well. Allows for some penetration into the gravel pack beyond the screen intake structure. The next item is chemical treatment, and there's proposed two rounds of chemical treatment. The chemical treatment, what it allows for is penetration into the gravel pack and beyond the gravel pack into the original well structure itself. There are two rounds, and it is an NSF approved chemical that is going to be used to help remove some of that debris, and it is approved for drinking water application. The next step is mechanical redevelopment. During that process, there's going to be airlifting and swabbing. It's kind of like using a plunger as a plunging effect to again try to not only remove the debris that is on the well structure itself, but to penetrate that gravel pack into the original well structure. It's just a more difficult process when you have a well that is lined to try to rehabilitate it. Some other things that will happen during rehabilitation is dynamic and static flow rates. So this will help us not only see the overall capacity of the well and achieve that capacity that we need of 1100 gallons per minute, but the dynamic and static flow rates allow us to see what portions of the aquifer are producing flow producing water for the well. There's also depth discrete water quality monitoring. So water quality monitoring will happen at different intervals within the well to see what the overall water quality is and see what sections of the aquifer make up that overall groundwater quality. Next slide, please. Some information about the bid. Richard Slade and Associates helped provide the technical assistance in preparing the bid documents. They developed the overall game plan for the well. They reviewed some documents that we had about the historical rehabilitation and the drilling of the well. They also reviewed well video to see what needed to take place and help develop that game plan. Our RFP, or request for proposal, was posted to Planet Bids on August 7th. With that included a mandatory pre-bid site meeting on August 23rd. We included the pre-bid site meeting just to give the bidders an ability to see some of the site constraints, but also to talk through some of the nuances within the bid itself. There's going to be a lot of coordination that has to happen between the contractor and SCB Water in discharging the well and making sure that we achieve water quality standards to pump the well back into our system. So there's a lot of coordination that needs to happen, and that pre-bid helped us kind of talk through that with the bidders. There were three companies that attended that pre-bid meeting, and ultimately only one bidder submitted a bid, is Weber Water Resources, in the amount of $1.4 million. This is our second time actually going through and trying to bid for the rehabilitation of this well. We tried doing this earlier this year in March and April of 2023. And the bid was $1.7 million. We, as staff, looked at some of the what was going to be asked of the contractors, and took some of the onus off of the contractors to hopefully try to get more contractors to bid. But Weber Water Resources ended up being the only bidder at that point. Next slide. some breakdown of the anticipated costs. As I mentioned before, Weber Water Resources bid $1.4 million for the rehabilitation. Just due to the coordination and some of the requirements that are needed for water quality samples and some of the processes that have to happen within the bid, we included additional standby time for Weber at $200,000. Also included our water quality analysis, that's $5,000. And we don't know exactly what the well column, pipe, and shaft are going to look like. So we went ahead and included that cost into the well in hopes that we don't have to replace any of that, but in case that some of that is failing, that we do go ahead and replace it and get that well back up into service working properly. So that bid amount is that line item amount is $240,000. And the last item is the ongoing support for Richard Slade and Associates. They will perform field monitoring and provide a rehab summary once the rehab process is done. And that amount is $60,000 for an overall total of $1,905,000. Next slide, please. Recommendation that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommends that the Board of Directors authorize the General Manager to enter into a contract with Weber Water Resources in the amount of $1.4 million for the rehabilitation and authorize other expenditures for the project detailed for a grand total of $1,905,000 and find that the proposed action is exempt from CEQA. And with that, I will take any questions.
Thank you, Ryan. First, we'll ask, are there any public comments from members in attendance or no? Anybody online having public comments?
No public comment.
Right. Then we can open it up for discussion, questions.
Quick question. So under the financial considerations, it states that funds for this study, this project, are included in the general well improvements CIP budget for current fiscal year. How big is that budget?
Yeah, currently there is enough for rehabilitation for this project. There is Saugus Well 1 that needs to be rehabilitated too. So there might need to be some transfer of funds between CIP projects, but the CIP budget will handle this $1.9 million.
Okay, understood. And what was the reason why we couldn't secure any other bidders for this project?
You know, so I did reach out to a bidder afterwards. I won't say who they were. It's a difficult process dealing with wells that have contamination, and some bidders do not want to take on that onus. And just due to the site restraints and some of the downtime that is inevitably going to happen in between collecting samples and allowing the contractors continue their duties. Some people did not want to bid just because it didn't, they could have other opportunities that they could pursue.
Okay. And for the site constraints, I mean, I see there's a large parking lot there. So yep. there's definitely space for machinery and for equipment. Are we going to have to, we could enter some kind of rental agreement with the businesses there to use that space?
Yeah, our right-of-way agent, we've already been in contact with them. When we initially pulled the well back in 2022 to do the video, we had the same sort of agreement. So we're going to enter into agreement with them again.
Is that part of the total proposed budget here for this project? Is that included?
I'm not sure if that one part was included, but the cost, I believe, was minimal. I think Christina was raising her hand.
Yes, good evening. I can speak that
to that we are in contact with the property owners about using a license agreement for a short-term license. So as Ryan said, the cost will be minimal because it will be a short-term agreement.
Can you give us a ballpark?
Approximately $5,000.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other, Dr. Peterson?
No one's going to spend as much money on this well as probably was originally drilled for. Again, but that's all right. Brian, I'm not too sure you can answer this question, but Keith and Courtney, does Whitaker have to be involved in this process?
Whitaker has been involved, to the point that, I mean, this has been discussed in the monthly technical meetings that we have with the new Whitaker. and so, yes, they are aware, and they likely will have some piece of this pie, but that's a long, drawn out, protracted process. So that will come later.
That'd be interesting. And they were involved with it before when it was rehabbed 10 years ago.
Yes.
Biofilm. What do you call it? Biofilm.
Yeah.
That is an ongoing problem with those two wells.
Especially since the volumes have dropped off, it has, it's more of an issue, I guess.
The Saugus one sleeved also?
I believe so. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, it is. Generally, wells that are sleeved should be rehabilitated every 5 years. It's been, since 2011. So it's well overdue for rehabilitation. Most wells that aren't sleeved, general rule is about every 10 years.
Good. Well, you already asked one of my questions about rehabilitation period. So a number of these costs in your budget, there are allowances for in case there's a need to spend those funds. They're not in Weber's initial contract, right?
That is correct. Yeah. We wanted to give the board an opportunity to look at everything and try to minimize downtime, and which would actually keep Weber on the job longer.
Right. Okay. Seems pretty straightforward. I have no other questions, but I will support it. Even though it's a couple of $1 million almost, I think it could go to consent. It seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I'll go for it. Consent.
Pardon?
Consent sounds reasonable.
Yeah, agreed.
Consent. Okay. Moving forward to consent. Thank you, Ryan.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Okay, item five. This is recommend approval of a contract recommend approval of adopting a resolution authorizing additional exchange order authority to the general manager for the Santa Clara and Hondi Wells PFAS groundwater treatment project. Presenter tonight is Wylon Lee. Are you ready to go?
I'm Trevor Cooper, a member of the committee. My name is Wylon Lee, and I'm an engineer of SDB Water and the project manager for the Santa Clara and Hornby Well PFAS groundwater treatment project. Next slide, please. The Santa Clara and Hornby Well PFAS groundwater treatment project, as indicated in the West Star on the map, it is in the eastern portion of the SDB Water surface area. Project consists of PFAS groundwater treatment system, which will be located in the Sand Canyon Pump Station and two well rehabilitation. The Santa Clara well, as you can see in the picture, located in the southwest corner of the Sand Canyon Pump Station, and the Hornby well that is located approximately 2,000 feet southwesterly from the Sand Canyon Pump Station site. And you can also see in the pictures. Next slide, please. This slide shows the on-site improvement, which is including chemical building, ion exchange vessel, the drainage structure, and also some underground piping. The underground piping, including the on-site underground piping, and also the Palmby well connector line and the drain line to the river. Next slide, please. So on July 19, 2022, Board of Directors approved a resolution for a contract for a construction contract with Pacific Hydrotech Corporation of $8,486,950. During construction, there have been two owner-initiated change orders, which included pipe modification to the ion exchange system and drainage structure modifications, along with several change orders resulting from the unseen site conditions. Those site unforeseen site condition change order include additional 23 potholing investigation and Humvee collector line modification. The Humvee well collector and drain line were realigned due to conflicts with recently installed gas line that was not shown on the construction plans, and the existing water line were in a different location than shown on the record drawings. Additional potholing was needed to identify and verify the location of the existing utilities. The total cost of these change orders is $413,592.05, which equate to 4.87% of the original contract amount. And it is within the general manager change order authority of 5%. In addition to the change order as discussed earlier, another necessary change order of a drain line modification has been identified at a cost of $150,000. The drain line modification include additional pipeline fitting needed for the new pipe alignment, also three new pump out facility and an outlet valve added to avoid any standing water in the drain line. Also, in order to facilitate timely completion of the project, staff also requesting that the board of director providing general manager an additional contingency up to $270,000 in the future change order. This total change order and contingency is $833,592.05, which is 9.82% of the overall original contract, and bring the revised budget among it of $9,320,542.05. Next slide, please. This slide shows the project schedules. So the initial notice to proceed was issued in August 16, 2022. The original contract time was 365 days. So it brings the original completion day of August 15, 2023. Due to various reasons and the additional change order as discussed, that brings the new additional, they requested additional day for completing this project addition to 227 days. So the revised completion date will be March 28, 2024. This project will be in line with the SDV Water Objective and Strategic Plan Objective D.2, proactively install, operate, and maintain groundwater treatment infrastructure to avoid impacts on water supply reliability. Next slide, please. In conclusion, staff recommends the Engineering and Operation Committee recommend that the Board of Directors approve adoption of resolution authorizing the General Manager to execute an additional change order in amount not to exceed $115,000 and provide General Manager authorized to execute additional change order for up to $270,000 without returning to the Board if necessary. For a total authority of $420,000 over the current 5% change order authority for the Santa Clara and Bombay Well PFAS groundwater treatment project. If appropriate, I would like to ask to add this item in the consent calendar. This concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Right, thank you very much, Ms. Lee, or Lee, for the presentation. Do we have any public comment online?
No public comment. No
public comment online. We don't have any public comment cards for members of the public present. And ask, open up for questions and discussion from the committee.
No, sir.
Mr. Peterson, Dr. Peterson.
I appreciate adding that slide five about contract duration. I did not see any discussion about it. I see it now. I appreciate that. Other than that, that's the only thing I have in the comments.
Any questions or comments?
So all the change orders is we initiate all of those, right?
We initiated them due to changes in the field.
Right.
So yes, they're a combination of, they're not initiated change orders from the contractor per se, other than due to errors or items that were not foreseen. Right. Change in gas main or a water line location that wasn't for the record drawing that impact where our alignment of that drain line can go.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions, Wyla.
Sure.
In the staff report, we talk about a gas line that was recently installed, but not on the project plans.
Mm-hmm.
Are you to say that the project plans were completed before the gas line was put in?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the plan was already issued, and so during the time between the the construction start and the plan issue, they put in the gas line.
I guess that opens another question. For projects that we have around town when utilities put in new facilities near ours, do we get any sort of notice when these things go in?
Not typically.
No. Okay.
We coordinate well with the city, but not with the Edison, SoCal Edison and gas. So.
Right, then that's not the contractor's fault. My other question has to do with the rather large $270,000 allowance for future, a contingency for future change orders. This to me appears that you may already know of something that may come up, or is this not the case?
So we still have a scope, which is the rehabilitation for the well. It's not started. So I included in there so that we would have the contingency to cover any change order. So that is water large scope. I just want to make sure that we have the contingency in there and we don't have to delay the project because we don't have the contingency to work with the.
This is the based on experience with Valley Center. We don't want to run into an issue where we start to get the well ready to go and we determine that there's an issue with the well that needs to be rehabbed. So this additional contingency is that ability to continue the work if we find the well has been.
No, I'm with you on timing and delays and keeping the job going. I'm all for it. So this is not a pre-approved amount other than give the general manager the authority to approve it if it comes up. So not automatically, it's not automatically being spent. So
will update the board monthly in our engineering report of if any of that money is used. So you will be updated. It just won't be a come for a request. We'll be able to continue the project moving.
Okay. Let's move this forward. My only question is.
Sorry to interrupt. We do have a public comment.
Oh, we do have a public
comment. Yes. Thank you.
Ms. Miltemeyer.
Hi, Guinness.
You have the floor.
I always get a little concerned when PFAS comes around because it just keeps coming around and coming around. And each time, more and more expensive. What is the source of PFAS? Maybe that would clear it up for everybody, and maybe we could stop this routine of constantly coming back and saying, now
we have talked about pursuing the source of PFAS for a long time, and we're involved in a lawsuit that perhaps can provide some funding for that, but it's still in process. And so.
So you don't know the source of PFAS?
There's many sources.
Please?
Many sources.
I believe
there are many sources.
It's presented that there are many sources of PFAS.
I think you have a few big main ones.
Yes.
And it seems like this just goes on and on and on and on and on for years. And then you put it stuff back in the river. I mean, this is just a very frustrating thing that I've seen with this water company. And it's getting very irritating. And you have one here, installation of a drain line to the river. So that means you're going to be perfect and clean, taking it out, right? Because you're going to jump water into the river after that. Is that clear? That's what I'm reading.
The drain line to the river, yes.
And this
you
is
want to your explain what the drain line is, Courtney.
Yeah, the drain line is after it's gone through the wash. We will have some blended supply that'll go to the river, but you do have a discharge requirement on any startup through the well. But it will be have gone through a treatment process and or blending process to minimize the impact to the groundwater, because we are closely monitored on putting anything back into the river.
Do you drink the water?
Absolutely.
I don't see much of you drinking water. Thank you. Drink it. Don't. You haven't for years. But I keep seeing this come up time and time and time and time again. And it's just more hundreds of thousands here, hundreds of thousands there. Do you know the source of it in our community? Does anyone know the source?
With regard to things that come up time and time again, we maintain a lot of equipment in Santa Clarita to provide water service to our customers. This is one of the times. Thank you for your public comment. Are there any public comments?
No public comment.
Very good. Ben, bring up the topic again. Do you feel it's worthy of consent, or
is it fairly large? The change order. So then we usually have change orders on as an action item instead of informal consent.
I think it normally follows the same rule on the cost if it was under $1 million, or if there's special circumstances, or if there's concern about what this is for, or if there's confusion in the report that merits an additional explanation. So I'll leave that up to you as to whether or not you believe that's the case. But
I think we can put it on consent, and if it's pulled, we can be prepared to talk about it.
We always
are. It's a large change order, but then again, it's a large contract. So percentage terms, the total change order is still under 10%.
Correct. And about a little over 3% of that is anticipated if we run into a problem, and hopefully won't use.
So be this,
the actual change order itself is relatively
small. Okay. Well, for now, let's have an objection. Let's put it on consent, and then if the board member would like to pull it to hear more about it, the staff will be prepared to make a presentation.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Next item is item 6, the Bouquet Canyon Trail informational presentation presented tonight by Christina Jindal.
Good evening again. My name is Christina Jacob, right-of-way agent here at the agency. I'll wait for the slides to show up. Thank you, Leticia. So this evening, I have an informational presentation for you all regarding the City of Santa Clarita's Bouquet Canyon Trail project. The City of Santa Clarita has been in communication with the agency about a future bike trail project, and we were able to reference the project in the Fourth Amendment to the lease with the city for Central Park that was recommended by this committee in July of last year for board approval in August of last year. Section 4.030 of the Fourth Amendment to the Central Park lease references the future bike trail project and that it would be a separate license agreement. Since this license agreement is on agency-owned property near Central Park, we wanted to bring this to you so that you would be informed. The City of Santa Clarita will need to gain approval from their city council to enter into the license agreement with us per their policies, but we wanted to inform you of it prior to their public agenda. Next slide, please. Agency staff and city staff have been in communication to ensure that this will not impact future agency projects. The city has identified a potential section that may need to be utilized in the future on this map. The City of Santa Clarita provided this parcel ownership map in relationship, so that you can see it in relationship to Central Park. The red line is the alignment of the trail. And as you can see, they're working with multiple stakeholders for this trail project. The parcels shaded in blue are agency owned. On this map, I don't know if you can see it, but they're still showing as the predecessor in interest, CLWA, as the owner. And our license will cover these parcels that are in blue. The adjacent orange parcel is owned by LA County Flood Control, and the purple parcel is owned by the city. The green boundary is Central Park, and you can see that the area covered in the Fourth Amendment to the lease, the trail is within that portion of the Central Park that's covered by the lease. And then in the upper right-hand corner, you can also see the future trail section that it will also be referenced in the license. Staff worked with agency counsel Best, Best & Krieger to draft a license agreement with the city that they're currently reviewing. This is a long-term license with the intent to be a long-term license to coincide with the Central Park Fourth Amendment. And we have worked with BB&K to ensure the license language is consistent with our other agency licensees, which includes in having indemnity and insurance language. Next slide, please. For your reference, the cross-country trail on this map is already existing and was covered as part of the Fourth Amendment to the Central Park lease that was approved last year through an amendment to the trail license with the city from 2010. You can clearly see that the proposed trail is to the north. It's kind of covered by the elevation in the white box, but that proposed trail that we're discussing is to the north and the existing trails are outside of that. So this concludes my informative presentation. We actually have Lisa Campos, Leslie Fraser, and Jackie Lilio from the City of Santa Clarita with us this evening. And they're available for any questions that you may have regarding the project specifically. With that, I give this back to you.
Great. Thank you, Christina. Are there any public comments online?
No public comment.
I have no public comment card. Any discussion or questions from me?
No.
Well, I appreciate the staff from the city being available for questions. It seems like a fairly clear presentation and another amenity that benefits our community. So we're supportive of it. So thank you, Christina, for the presentation. And we look forward to seeing the trail when it's complete.
Thank you.
All right. Move on to item 7, and this is the real property and activity report, again presented by Christina Jake.
So as part of the board policy update that was brought to this committee and then approved by the board in 2022, this is a semi-annual report of transactions to the Engineering Operations Committee. And I'll wait for Leticia again to be able to bring the slide up. So per the board policy, the general manager shall provide a semi-annual report of transactions executed pursuant to the authority granted in the board policy of the to the Engineering and Operations Committee. Next slide, please. Anytime pipelines are within privately owned property that are outside of the public right-of-way, we will need to have access to build and maintain those pipelines. Because of this, we need the property rights, so we need the easements, and those that have been granted to us are on this slide since the last real property activity report, which was in March of this year. We have received approximately 30 easements for the developments at Mission Village, for phases 2 and 3 of Tesoro, the Toll Brothers project, and the Skyline Ranch development. The red dots on this map show the developments where the easements have been recorded. Next slide, please. And since March, we have not had any quitclaims or license agreements, but we do anticipate activity for both within those next 6 months. So this slide will look a little bit different next time. And this concludes this semi-annual presentation. So I will be back in the future for the activity during that time. Thank you very much this evening.
Very much. Once again, do we have any public comment?
No public comment.
No public comment. Any questions from committee? I just have a question, Christina. On the pipeline easements, are these prepared by the developer in most cases or in all cases?
So we have an easement template that we worked with BB&K and are fine-tuning as items come up that need to be addressed. And we have an easement template for the language. And the legal description is prepared by the consultant for the developer. And then that goes through the review process to confirm that it's the accurate description of the property that is being granted. And we have a process for reviewing both the language and the legal description in place.
And all of it is paid for by the developer through a reimbursement or through an agreement where they put a deposit down. So all of Christina's time, legal time to draft the easement language and the consultant review of the easements are all paid for by developer.
Very good. Sounds like we're very busy in Mission Village.
Yes.
All right, that answers my question. I have no further questions. Thank you for your update.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Item 8, monthly operations and production report by Mr. Keith Abercrombie.
Thank you. I'll be brief. The report is item 8 in your packet. The water year has just ended, October 1, and we received about 40 inches of precipitation. You may recall the last time we received that much, and that was back in 04-05, and we got actually 52 inches, but since then we haven't come close to 40, so it was a good year. We continue to maximize our use of surface water, as I've reported each time. I think we were at 83% for the month of August. Year to date, we're at about 74%, which is probably, I haven't checked, but probably one of the highest historically that we've been able to use. And then with regard to water trends, if you looked at the graphs of water levels, slight declines like we would expect to see this time of year. The August soundings did not pick up on anything from the hurricane. That came right at the end of the month, and most of the soundings are done in mid-month. So we may see a little bump from some of that come next month. That's all I have to report.
Are we getting slight declines in well levels?
Yes.
I always try to go to that link and it never works for me for some reason. Probably me, the bell. Any public comment?
No public comment.
Any questions from directors?
Yeah, curious. On the annual precipitation, how far back do the records go?
Good question. I'll have to look. I mean, we go back at least into the 80s. Okay. Maybe
into the 50s.
Yeah, maybe even further. But I can look. I don't know.
The newer station's been there since 16.
The reason why I ask is it's just curiosity. I guess, is there a little, you know, why don't we look at the totals for each year? Obviously, is there if we plot this, do we see meaningful patterns here? Or anything like that? Do you know if Water Resources has used this data in addition to El Nino patterns to see if there's any relationships? Or
I can't specifically answer your question. I do know Water Resources has all this data and is doing something with it constantly. As well as looking at usage patterns from the point of view of customer usage, customer demands over time, and so forth.
Okay, I'll speak with Ali about this thing. I'm sure it's been done.
Oh,
but I'm sure the data is absolutely meaningless because you can't predict weather. Okay, that's all for me. Back to you.
Yeah, anything?
Well, I just want to note that this is probably the most unusual September, October ever seen out here, being a number of green patches everywhere.
Yeah.
Green, yellows.
All righty, then. We can go to Mr. Mayo for the Capital Improvement Project Construction Status Report, item 9.
So, item 9 is contained in your packet and is a description of our capital improvement projects and the amount spent to date and estimated completion time. Open to any questions.
Any public comment on the
No public comment.
Report? Any discussion questions from committee?
Any ribbon cutting ceremonies for this complete projects? Or is that a tradition here at SCV Water or not really?
I am sure we will when we get to some. I know we recently had the Bridgeport Parkett Park had a ribbon cutting. The Magic Mountain Pipeline, there's not a lot to see. It's all buried, and so it's hard to do a ribbon cutting, but I'm sure we will do one for Santa Clara Hanby when that project is complete, and obviously we did one for Valley Center when that was complete. So.
Okay, thank you.
One question I have is Dickerson Drive, that's started now, has it?
That's started. We are doing that pipeline work. The contractor is already put in, I do believe, just started this Monday, and they already have a few hundred feet of pipe of the 2,000 feet they need to do. The project duration in theory goes to February, but right now we're hoping that to be done before Christmas.
And that's all being done at night?
Has to be all done at night, yes, unfortunately. And then,
the existing, just a sidelight question about that, I was wondering, the existing sections that were repaired, are those staying or they're just being replaced also?
Being replaced. Along that stretch, we're replacing everything.
Most efficient to do that, right? That's all.
My only observation, once again, I just put these change orders are very well managed by our staff. If you look at the first page all the way down to the 84% complete project, there's two projects with change orders and the rest have zero. That's pretty astounding for any public works project. So good job, guys. Anything else, committee? This is informational. I think we can move to the next item 10, and we're at the planning calendar. Mr. Mayne.
We have been working pretty diligently about spreading out our planning calendar. We do have a number of projects coming up. Some of the projects that we have not necessarily put on this list are after we start getting some of the reports back on the recently approved well preliminary studies. They will lead inevitably to more work and design work. That's probably 3 or 4 months out. And then we will be populating the calendar with that amount of work in order to continue those design projects. We also are trying to advance some of the pipeline projects. So you may see some of those coming up in the near future. Any other questions?
Any public comment on Mr. Mayor?
No public comment.
Any questions for Mr. Mayor? Thank you, Courtney. Item 11, general report on treatment, distribution, operations, maintenance, services, section activities. Mr. Abercrombie.
Thank you. A couple of things. We've come to the board and the committee over the past year, maybe, on a couple of pipeline projects that the operations team was going to install. And one of those, Begonias pipeline project, that was a 650-foot project that I think was approved in by the board in July. And staff has completed that. So we actually checked one off our list. Moving towards sort of emergency preparedness, we have a backup generator that we are have ordered and are awaiting delivery on for the Golden Triangle facility. This facility hasn't had one historically. It's the facility that holds our operations team, about 60 to 70 people that work on pipelines and that type of thing, one of our largest sort of field groups. Asset management, we have been diligently working on pieces of that project, one in particular dealing with what they call the asset hierarchy. And this is the behind the scenes, if you will, programming that gets put into the GIS system to sort of identify all the various features that you want to be able to look at, whether it be a valve, a pump, a motor, a door. I mean, it could be whatever you want. And that process obviously involves staff and GIS and our team's input. And so that has been ongoing. We are close to having that registry completed. We are also in the process of working with, I believe it's Hazen, on a needs assessment to kind of evaluate the next steps in implementing a CMMS system, so that the actual software, if you will, that would be the asset management system that would then look into and tie into this GIS system that we're in the process of creating. So that is something that's been on a lot of our minds for many, many years, and it's a huge undertaking, but we've been able to, you know, start biting off some pieces of the apple, if you will, and move this forward. And so it's looking very promising. Another thing that I wanted to report on, this was something that came up in another discussion we had, that it's sort of a little factoid that you may find interesting or disturbing, depending on how you look at it. But the Sawyers Perchlorate Treatment Facility went online in 2011. It's the facility that treats water from Saugus Wells 1 and Saugus Well 2, one of which we talked about today. That facility has treated approximately 11 billion gallons of water since it went online. And that facility removes perchlorate, that's what it's designed to do. In treating that 11 billion gallons of water, it's removed 1,700 pounds of perchlorate. So if I did my math correctly, it's 6.5 million gallons of water per pound. We are currently in the TDOM section. We're currently recruiting for 2 new TDOM supervisors and soon for a treatment plant operator supervisor. And lastly, the revised lead and copper rule, there are requirements in this rule that require all water agencies to basically identify any piece of the system, and the system is our system and the customer's system. Any piece of the system that may have lead, and to demonstrate basically that there is no lead in any part of the system. So we have an outside consulting firm that we've been working with, and our water quality group has been lead on this. This process involves a myriad of activities, whether it be statistical analysis, whether it be looking at physically inspecting facilities and looking at things physically. And it also is obviously involved in reviewing all sorts of design and as-built drawings to determine, you know, what's the drawing say that pipe is and this and that. And there are, you know, there are, the good news is if it's something that's built typically after 1986, it's exempt from that process because there shouldn't have been any legal use of lead-based pipe or materials after that point in time. But that still leaves about 36,000 connections, if you will, to address. So staff is heavily involved in that. That's a very simple explanation of a very difficult and complex project. It's probably one that we'll bring back to the committee in the future with a more detailed discussion about what that process is. But that's my report.
Good. All right. Thank you, Keith. Any public comment?
No public comment.
All right. Very good. Any comments or discussion questions from the committee?
How are we doing on exercising valves? On schedule?
No, I mean, we're never quite on schedule. We have been working diligently to try to deal with that and take account of and make sure we're documenting when we are and where we are. A lot of times things happen, you can exercise valves on purpose or you can exercise them just because you need to, because yeah, you've got problems or you got things going on. And so we want to take credit for both of those scenarios if we can. And so staff's been working diligently to make sure we have systems in place to take care of that. But whether it be exercising valves, painting fire hydrants, we struggle to maintain levels that we should be maintaining in those areas sometimes.
You mentioned you're going to be hiring some operational supervisors. Is there some sort of a large attrition
happening? No, this was something that had come to the board and the committee a while back, basically to add to new supervisors. We currently have supervisors that are supervising upwards of 30 people,
Right.
Which is a little difficult. And so the goal is to try to have it, the management people will tell you, well, you shouldn't have 6, 7, 8, that, kind of thing. And we don't have sites that grandiose, but we'd like to see it down to 12, which is maybe still high, but that's a lot better than where we are. So this was us adding basically, we currently have two supervisors in the production group, the guys that maintain all the boosters and wells and facilities, and two supervisors in the operations group that maintain pipelines and fixed breaks and things like that. This adds one new supervisor to each of those groups so that we can split our existing staffs up below them into different segments. Allow better students.
Thank you.
I have one comment since you brought up valves, Peter. Last Thursday evening, my neighborhood had a outage in water. I'm in District 36. And come to find out the outage was actually 4 streets away.
Wow.
That means that they had valves closed that they didn't know about. So since I didn't have any water coming out of the faucet, I called up the county dispatcher and they told me what was going on, what street it was on. So I went over there and just told the staff, poor guys who were working out there and living in top night, that they had some valves closed. And oh, they had some sad faces. But that. I appreciate that. It is a hard job. You know, that's the reason why we try to get these programs going. Or about, and that's when you learn how those things are open or closed.
And we think part of the supervisor, the supervisor with the operations group, would be to have crews that we can dedicate more to those type tasks.
Right. Thank you for your presentation.
I just want to thank you for the presentation at the board on what your staff's able to do. Instead of hiring consultants and contractors, that was excellent. Thank you very much for doing that. Okay, we can go to item 12, the report on engineering services section activities. Mr. Mann.
So I'm going to do very short on my presentation, and then I do have someone to give a presentation on what the software we use for our construction management. The only update I have is we have hired two new admins to replace the two admins that actually transferred to other areas of the agency. So we managed to keep them. They were good employees, and they moved one to water resources and one to finance. And we just had a replacement from both of those externally. They started last week, so this is their second week, and they keep coming back. So we're good. We're doing a good job. So hopefully that will help us out, especially since we're going to have at least one person going on leave here pretty soon for a while. So we're trying to make sure we have the proper coverage and can keep doing our invoicing and billing for both development and CIP projects. And with that, we'll turn it over to Damian to give a presentation on construction management software.
Good evening, members of the committee. My name is Damian Ferran. I'm a senior inspector for SCV Water. And tonight I will be presenting the engineering department's construction management software called Procore. Next slide, please. Procore is a construction management software that helps manage and document all stages of agency projects in construction. It is an internet and cloud-based platform. It can be easily customized to match the agency's format and requirements. And this helps all parties involved to collaborate from the start of construction up to the handoff to the agency operations department. Next slide, please. There are many benefits to utilizing Procore. Throughout this presentation, we will review some of the key categories. They include documentation, organization, accountability, consistency, and uniformity. Next slide, please. Some of the most common forms of documentation that are used during construction are shown on this slide. The picture of the top center of the slide is the Nimbus tank drawings that are currently being used for construction in the Skyline development. On the top right is a current picture of the Nimbus tank. To help prevent any miscommunication or confusion, Procore ensures all parties have the most current revisions of any approved plan set. The three documents on the bottom of the slide from left to right are a daily log, a field directive, and an RFI. The daily log is what the inspector uses to record all daily activities and conditions on the job site. The field directive is a document form of communication between field staff, including the developer, to identify and resolve any potential issues, allowing for a more immediate response. The last document on the bottom right is a request for information, or better known as an RFI. This tool is used by project personnel to contact agency and design engineers for more complex issues that cannot be immediately resolved in the field. Next slide, please. The organization that Procore provides helps keep all parties within their lanes, up to date with current project status and the latest agency specifications. Each project has a homepage with all parties involved, along with their contact information. It communicates status, ball in court, email reminders, along with several other available tools. Procore is available from a desktop computer as well as a mobile app on a cell phone. With the ease of using a mobile device, people can be updated instantly while standing on the job site. Next slide, please. Accountability of all parties are maintained with time-stamped descriptive documents that communicate any number of aspects, including but not limited to requests, revisions, issues, approvals, rejections, and verifications. On this slide are two approved submittals. On the left is a testing plan, and on the right is an angle stop. Both have gone through the submittal review process, which verifies that they meet the latest agency specifications listed in the 2022 construction manual. This documented process holds all parties accountable to ensure all approved materials and processes meet uniformed conformity. Next slide, please. Consistency and uniformity are very important. To help meet our customer schedules and needs, engineering consistently reviews and updates Procore practices annually. This ensures all agency employees are following the same standard operating procedures so that the facilities that the operations department receives align with the most current agency standards. Next slide, please. In conclusion, Procore offers the agency a more organized way to have the ability to cover multiple projects and maintain documentation and accountability in a consistent and efficient manner. This helps the agency engineering construct facilities that will ensure quality customer service and reliability with minimal maintenance for generations to come. This concludes the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Damian. Any public comment on the report?
No public comment. Just want to let you know that this will be posted on the website.
Excellent. Good. Looks like we've come a long way from the old daily reports that we used to do in the field. So, any questions or comments from the committee?
Well, thanks for doing this. Yeah. I always kind of wondered how that looked like. We did discuss this during meetings and in between meetings. For drawings, can you make comments on drawings using this task manager process or no?
Yeah. So you have, it depends on what phase of project that you're looking at. Once it goes in the field, the drawing itself stays rigid and your comment becomes even an RFI or a field directive to make a change. We have a separate process, which we'll do a presentation on using Bluebeam, which allows us to do in-plan modifications and see who's doing it. It's basically advanced project or track changes for engineering drawings during the review process. Usually by the time it's getting to Procore, we don't want changes.
Right.
They lead to cost. So we're trying to keep those change orders to a minimum. So we try to make everything a little more formal in the either a field directive or an RFI. And the reason you do that is that we don't want a contractor or someone else misinterpreting what the solution was. What is stated by the inspector in the field and agreed to in the field is then written out and put into a file that everyone has access to and understands.
And then how do you file it? How do you close a project in Procore? Do you have access to it, 10 years from now?
Damian, do you want to go through the closure process for Procore?
Yeah, so far, all the information for the project is all stored in Procore. It can be deactivated and reactivated from Procore, but we can also extract the information and store them into agency servers by utilizing all of the different tools and everything that it has, and it's organized in that structure. So we'll have documents, RFIs, field directives, all of that information, but it's all stored on agency servers eventually. So that way it 20 years from now, we'll be able to pull up that format and be able to review all of that information.
And when you say it gets stored on agency servers, you mean it gets converted to PDF and saved as a PDF on a server, and or is it still within the ProCore platform?
So we haven't closed any of the projects out yet. I assume that it's going to be on PDF organized in the ProCore platform, but we'll find out as soon as we close the first project.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the benefits, though, too, about even with the RFIs and the field directives with the plan sets is when those items come up and we have a red line situation, whether it's a field directive coming from a contractor or if it's an RFI coming from a design engineer, that information can be immediately redlined on the plans from the design engineer and uploaded into ProCore. And we have rolling as-built in a sense. So everyone is able to see what revision that is on the drawings themselves without having to connect to multiple documents, whether it's field directive, RFI, and plan, and try to piece together what the communication was. So those rolling as-builts are very beneficial. And then when it comes to the end of the closeout project where we're reviewing those as-builts, it's pretty much the same thing that we've seen throughout the life of the project.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, looking forward to seeing.
Orlando will be doing that presentation. He's already working on it to do a lunch and learn for our staff as well.
Okay.
So when we have a construction manager that we hire as part of the project, are they using ProCore or is this for agency staff to
use? Yeah, they're required to use ProCore as well. And ProCore is not just agency staff. It's the contractors required to use it too. Okay. They do submittals, they do RFIs, all of that. And so they're given access, individual access to their job only. And then the inspectors have access to the majority of the jobs, so do the admins, but the specifically the contractor and construction managers or whoever is directly related and needs to have access can have access to ProCore.
Awesome, same templates for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's all levels as well. Even like the foreman on the site, he has access to ProCore. So that way he can review testing plans, plan sets, all of that information.
And all of our consultant inspectors are required to use ProCore as well. So as Damien is a senior inspector, he is working five-point a lot of his time and has multiple consultants that are doing inspection out there. And so a good part of his day is reviewing those dailies to see the progress on the various sites and to make sure that no issues have come up that we may, as the agency, need to address directly. So he has that at his fingertips on his phone at any time.
Excellent. Good. Impressive. Thank you for the presentation.
You're welcome. Thank you. My pleasure.
With regard to the comments about consistency, yes, it's obviously very important. How are the standard plans being received in the developer world?
There's still some issue with material submittals. We've been struggling a little bit with that just because they want to be able to check multiple boxes, and we try to keep the same material on a single project. We don't want them to check every box we have for valves and then not know what valve went out there. So initially when they're ordering, they're saying, yeah, we're going to use one of these valves. And the solution we have is that they have to narrow it down and tell us what valves are on site, and they have to be consistent and use the same valve on site throughout that project. So if we have an issue with that single valve in the future, we can pull up that record and know all of the projects that had that valve associated with it. So we're working on some of those details. We still meet with the Economic Development Council. We've tried to meet quarterly, but they just recently changed their president. Holly has moved on to DrinkBack. And so we met with Jay Wagner, who's her replacement. And we are setting up that meeting again. And that's for the development community to provide us input on that process. Other than that, I think the actual standard drawings themselves are very good. We're also working on CAD standards, and we're working on design standards to hand to the engineers so that our pump stations, reservoirs, and PR stations all have a consistent design. That helps the design engineer know what to do and the sizing of the land you're going to need to do. So that by the time they're getting to us, our plan review time should be significantly less. So those are all always going to be updated. They're going to be living documents, but we need to get something out first. So we're working on a design guide now.
Excellent. Thank you.
That would help with maintenance too. Standardize equipment every morning.
Correct.
Okay. Unless there's anything further from the committee, we have reached item 13 adjournment. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
You're welcome.
We are adjourned.